How do you create an online business? But also, how do you take an offline business and bring it online? And I'm going to be completely honest with you about the mistakes that I made and things that I would do differently. And I'm going to share 9 things in particular that would have made a huge freaking difference. Let's talk Instagram. Many of us have lost years trying to connect and find clients. And the worst part is that most of the coaching on how to do it, it's super cringe. It's salesy, it's manipulative. DM 50 people a day. How many of you have heard that? Now, it's totally possible to grow without Instagram, and I share a lot of that, but it can be a great tool if you're doing it the right way. Which is why I'm going to super highly recommend watching the masterclass, 3 Secrets to Grow and Monetize Your Instagram Account with Carla Biesinger. It's much more of that heart-led, less douchey way to connect with your audience and convert them into clients without living with your fingers glued to the phone. To learn more and watch, go to herfirst3years.com/grow. That's herfirst3years.com/grow. Now on to our episode. Welcome to Her First 3 Years. From breakdowns to blunders, learn what worked and what didn't. I'm your host, Sharday, and whether you're a new entrepreneur or you're just starting something new, this is your space to learn and feel a little less alone. So to give you context first is I started my business as a boot camp. It was an in-person boot camp in Central Park, New York, and it was profitable very quickly. The reason why it was so profitable was because the expenses were so low. It was essentially a little subscription to a website and some equipment. As I grew this business, I wanted to take it online. So after about 5 years of being in business, I thought, this is time to, let's go online. And at this point, online fitness was just kind of coming ahead. A lot of people were doing YouTube, but it wasn't something that was so popular. There was still this idea that it's much more effective in person. Why would I do it online? And so I was thinking, I'm ahead of trend. I'm going to create this. But I'm not going to get rid of my in-person business yet. I'm going to slowly get into this field. Even though I had 5 years of experience running a business, online was a different world. And I didn't do the research that I should have done. There were so many things that I just didn't get right. And when you run an in-person business, unless you're dealing with inventory and products, I feel like there's a lot more room and patience for you to mess up on the part of customers. You know, you have that relationship, they understand. It's a lot easier to build trust when someone sees you regularly in person than online. But I didn't account for this. I was just so excited. So when I launched the online segment of my fitness business, I created this program. And this I did right. This is something I recommend for anyone that wants to do online business services specifically. First of all, start with one-to-one. Do a one-to-one, at least with one person. It can be in-person or online because that will teach you a lot of what you need to do. It also commands a premium. So that is money you can reinvest in promoting the business. But once you've done the one-to-one, and I count 5 years I was doing one-to-ones as part of that, you then create a better program. And what I did was I got 15 people to sign up. I gave this program to them for free, which in hindsight I would not do. I'll explain in a moment why. But I made the program free. And for 4 weeks, we would have weekly check-ins. There was a community group. It was on Facebook at the time. There was meal plans and there was workouts. I made it free because I wanted more people. And in exchange for making it free, I asked them for their honest testimonials. I wanted to record the journey and basically get that social proof, which is very important for when you're going online. How do you prove that you're a trustworthy person? It's through the stories of people you've worked with before or people you've sold products to before. I was not confident that people would pay for this. And I think this is a big thing that we get in our heads about of who will pay me? What proof do I have? But if you are even thinking about creating an online business, it means you have some sort of expertise you've been working on. You need to charge for this. It can be an extremely nominal discounted amount if you want, but you need to charge for it. One, because it helps people to value what you're doing. I'm giving my time and I'm developing something, therefore it should be charged, right? Like there should be an exchange here. When I created that program, it was kind of like, this is the way that I've always created things. And I think it's an unfortunate slash fortunate part of the creative mind. I didn't really think about the business side. I just thought, people need this. I can reach more people if I'm online. With an online business, you've got scalability. You get people in different countries. It just has a lot more potential. So I'm just going to take what I know and throw it online. I didn't do the 9 things I'm going to share with you that you should do if you're launching an online business or an online version of your business. And so therefore, when I created this program, I didn't really have a viable product that people wanted. Nobody had asked for this. I just wanted to create it. Do you ever do that? Like you've got this idea, you don't really market test it. You don't ask if anyone wants it and you just create it. So obviously it didn't sell. And I kept running it as this launch style. Eventually I did charge for it. But I would do this launch style where I would take a group of 15 people to 20 people. I would run it 4 weeks to 3 months, depending. And I would do that again and again for about a year. Now it was not growing. The people that were coming to me were people that I knew or friends of friends. And that was dangerous because the one thing people will never tell you, or maybe they do, but we don't listen, is when you have an offline business, those customers do not necessarily convert to online. So there were people that I had worked with for years in person that did not like to do things online. So they didn't convert. You cannot count on that customer base. You are essentially starting a new business. And that's why, even though I had been an entrepreneur for 5 years at this point, nearly, I still consider this to be the first 3 years because it was a new business. It was a new model. I had to learn, but I didn't think I needed to. And so I had this program sitting on my website, but nobody was coming to it. I wasn't refining it. I was helping people in a really significant way. And that's what drove me and kept me going. But in terms of paying the bills, it wasn't. And in terms of the compensation I was receiving for time and creativity, it was pretty small, which meant I couldn't reinvest in my business. And this is the trap we fall in. Like, we want to help everyone. We want to make it affordable. But then what? Let's say that you do want it to be more affordable. You have to think about it being online as a different animal. It's not build it and they will come. Not quite. Now, before I go into what were the 9 mistakes that I made, the things I would do differently, I'll say one other part of this is we can be stubborn creatures as entrepreneurs. So when this program ended and I realized I can't keep doing this, this is not growing, I had one client, and she's a client to this day. I love you, you know who you are, who asked me what she could do after she completed the program, because it only ran for max 3 months and she wanted to continue with her workouts. So she asked me for something. She communicated her need and I created a subscription service. So I took my existing workout program and I made it into a subscription service, which to this day is running and has a lot more people in it. Now, the first year that I was running that subscription, this is pre-COVID, pre-2020, nobody is online doing fitness really. She was the only person. So for 1 year, I had one client in this product that I was filming and recording and editing videos, 12 new videos, at least 15 minutes to 30 every single month. Saying that hurts. If I could go back and say, what were you thinking? Why were you so headstrong about this? Because the problem was not what I had created. In this case, someone asked for it. And it was great working with her because she would continually refine it with me. She'd ask me questions about, can we have this feature with this benefit? My mistake was not growing it, hoping people would just come. If you don't do the growth stuff for online business, it's like having a store, like a brick and mortar store. Let's say you're selling sweaters. I don't know why sweaters, vintage sweaters. Let's keep it eco-friendly. And your shop is not listed on Google, not listed online, and it's hiding behind another building. That's what happens if you think you're just going to throw your business online and people are going to come. It doesn't work that way. When I finally realized that, and when this product started growing, and then the other elements of the business started changing, was when I started implementing things specifically for growing a business online, which is what we're going to go into. Now, the basis for an online business, there'll be small variations, but it essentially runs this way. And this is through trial and error. I've learned this, but I'm gifting it to you now, which is this. You do a one-to-one offer, which gets you revenue in the door. It's also relatively low expenses. It helps you refine your knowledge and expertise, get your testimonials. You don't even need a website at this point to do this. Once you've done the one-to-ones and you feel comfortable, then you create a beta program. And that is where you are essentially creating the content of your offer as you are working with a small group for a discounted price. Please don't do free like I did. And then that program will be the program that you launch. This is how everyone's doing it. I mean, there's small variations of how you get people to buy, et cetera, what it looks like. But that's the structure for services, at least for online coaching specifically. Now, within that, how do people come to you? How do you get people to buy into this program? It's things like having them in your newsletters. It's things like ads. It's things like doing a workshop, having a lead magnet. I mean, these are all the small ways that people trickle down to your offer. But we're going to go into what are the 9 specific things that allow you to basically create and grow. So first one I didn't do, sales funnel. Sales funnel is, for those that don't know, it basically you start with someone who doesn't know you, knows nothing about you in their customer journey. How do you get that person to buy? You take them through a journey where they get to know you, and then they maybe buy something smaller from you and then larger, etc. And that kind of brings them down to a point where they're comfortable buying from you. It's very different from in person, where you don't necessarily need a sales funnel, although it can be helpful still. Number 2, make sure that you are customer centric in what you are creating. So you want to make sure that this is not just something you think people need. It should be something they are asking you for. It embarrasses me how many things I made without seeing if anybody wanted them. The stuff that I made because people asked grew so much faster. I know that it's hard, especially if you're a purpose-led entrepreneur, meaning like you really want to feel something about the work you're doing, versus some people, they just like creating businesses and it doesn't matter what they're selling. They just love the thrill of it. It's hard, I know, for us that are like thinking about it, but you can do this, okay? You just think about what you love, but also what are people asking for? What are the top questions that they ask of you or you hear the complaints of? Build from there. That also is something in any business, offline or online too. Next thing is traffic generation. You have to generate traffic to your offer, to your product, or you're not gonna get conversions. Who's gonna come? It can't just be the people that you know. This is the equivalent of if you have a store or a in-person shop, people walk by, right? They have to see it to know they can buy. And the way that you do this online, there's many ways, but most common ways are through your social media. Oof, I know. Through SEO, if you do any blogs, and through leveraging other people's audiences, getting on podcasts, doing lives together. There's lots of ways to do this, but you want to drive traffic to your offer, to your website, to what you create. That's something I did not do. I thought I would create it and people would find it. They didn't. I also thought that socials were headache and unnecessary and stressful. And to this day, I find them really frustrating. But there is a way to do it. You have to think about social media that you as an entrepreneur are selling. And in order to sell, you need to share your story. You need to be authentic. You need to make connections. If you think of social media that way, it can change how you show up and how you attract an audience, how you do stuff. We actually have, there's an amazing woman called Carla Biesinger who does Instagram Secrets to Success that I love. You can get her program through my website. It is so helpful if you're struggling with the social media side, but she's really thinking about it from how do I get people to genuinely connect with me and then become customers? How do I do that? So that's where I would start with that. But you need to have the traffic. Next is ignoring the user experience. Oof. Yes, I did a lot of. I had so many times that people would say to me about my online product, this is not working, this is bulky, I don't understand this. And I did not take that into account. It's not because I didn't want to or I didn't believe them. It's just I was so focused on being in my business, you know how this feels, that I didn't work on my business. So I didn't take the time to refine and do what they were asking. But if I had done that, one, I could have made the landing page where they first saw the offer much more intuitive and easier so people wanted to buy. I could have made the experience nicer so they wanted to recommend. Make sure you always think about the user experience from the time someone finds you on your website to the moment that they are in your program to even after. The next thing I didn't consciously do that I would consciously do going forward is A/B testing. So we know this about ads. A lot of times people will say if you're running an ad, run a variation of it. You change the image or you change the text so you can see what resonates. But the same is true with programs. Can you compare two slightly to see what works better? Same with sales pages. Can you see what people land on more? That's how you learn. That's how you refine. So A/B testing, especially when you are in the initial stages of an offer or a program, just like a slight variation, offering, testing it out, asking, getting feedback. This will allow you to really get something that people want and appreciate. Next is lack of branding and differentiation. Now, I know you, and I don't actually advocate going off and doing your logo and your colors immediately. That's something that I did do. And looking back, I think those were expenses that were not necessary initially. I did all of them because it was fun. I have to talk about all the photo shoots and stuff I did another time, but you don't need it. You don't need it. Not initially. But for differentiation and branding, that is important. How can you position yourself as different from your competition? Because online, it's saturated markets, it's a lot more competition. So how can you stand out? Something I did not do. How, when I created this program, it was a nutrition and fitness program. How was it different? How was it different from anything else that was out there? I did not convey that, and that's why it wasn't growing. People would see it. I could see the traffic coming to the website. How, I don't know. I really still to this day don't know because I didn't do SEO, but not buying. And it's because I did not think about how can I differentiate? What makes you different? What makes your message different? Know that as you're crafting something. Know that as you launch. It can't just be that, oh, it's me, my personality. Yeah, that helps. But what about that? Like, what else makes this different? Another one here is not nurturing leads. So this goes back to the sales funnel, the customer journey. I was expecting people to just land on my page and buy, but that doesn't usually happen. Not until you have a whole lot of validation, people talking about you, etc. You have to nurture these people. You have to get them to know who you are, what you're about. You can do that in many ways through your newsletter, the story you tell, being on podcasts. I will always advocate that one. It's a huge one. Having your own show. Like, there's many ways that you can nurture an audience so they know who you are, they trust for you. Because online, there's a lot of scamming, a lot of skepticism. And the way that you break that is by continually showing up who you are so people can establish trust. Especially important if you want to sell at a higher ticket level. People need to know who you are. So nurture them. Think about, do I have a weekly newsletter type thing I can do? If people opt into my email list, do I have a sequence of 2-3 emails telling my story, my message? Am I talking about it on podcast? How can I nurture these people? And then the last thing I didn't do, but I should have, is upselling and cross-selling. So yes, you have your offer, but you also want to think about add-on. What's something else in addition to your offer that would help someone? The cross-selling. What is someone, they finish this program, they go to the next, what do they do? For example, I did a one-to-one coaching personal training. I also had cross-sell, they finish that program and they can start my subscription on-demand workouts. In the fitness coaching, my upsell was also we can have the nutrition, you know, I'll help you find balance with food. So think about too, even if you don't immediately launch these, think about the upsell and the cross-sell because your best customers are the ones that you already have. It's much easier to sell to a hot audience, not just warm, but hot. So always think about how can I continue to serve these people, keep them in my community, help them out, because that's how I will more effortlessly have an impact, make sales, and feel good about my online business. So these are the things I would have done that I didn't do. I hope that this is helpful. I want to say too, as a final thing, some people will ask, does it make sense for me to go online? Either to transition my business or as a first business? Yes. There's so much potential. Even if you want to be in person, having an online element can be extremely beneficial. It can help establish you as a thought leader. It can give you more freedom. It makes complete sense to have an online element. Even if you sell products in person, online as well, you'll be doing it. So this day and age, yes, go online, do it. Thank you so much for listening. If you found this episode helpful, please leave a review. Let me know if you've got questions as well. Put it in the review. We will answer them on this show. And I will see you in the next one. If you've been enjoying this show, please leave a review. You are a business person. You know how it is. This is how we grow, how we continue to help, is by supporting one another. If you could leave in the review what episode has helped you the most or what you've been learning, and heck, you can even put in what you do. You know, might as well put yourself out there. But feel free to do that. Like, let's support each other, and I will see you in the next one.